Good afternoon, and welcome to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and I'm joined as usual for this afternoon show by my buddy Mike Yakube. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Joseph.
Michael, before we start, let me just apologize to our listeners with all of the power outages and equipment failures that we've had here in the last two and a half weeks. Our last Night Talk show ran several more times than it normally would. So please accept our apologies for that. We're going to try and get us back on track here going forward. With that, Michael, let's begin, as we always do, with a prayer. We'll do our prayer to St. Michael. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the
Holy Spirit. Amen. Got a few degrees to get out of the way.
All right.
We'll start with the Sunday, January the 26th. An admission degree will be conducted by Father Edward Garrity Council, 10474, located at 535 Conewago Creek Road in Manchester. Candidates should arrive no later than 1:30, and the degree is to begin at 2 p.m. On Tuesday, January the 28th, an admission degree will be conducted by St. Joseph's Council, 12788, and they're going to do the degree at the church parish hall, 410 East Simpson Street in Mechanicsburg. Candidates should arrive no later than 6:30, and the degree is to begin at 7. And lastly, on Wednesday, June, listen to me. Let's try this again, Murphy. On Wednesday, January the 29th, a formation degree will be conducted by Columbia Council 2294. They're located at 400 Maple Street in Columbia, Pennsylvania. Candidates should arrive no later than 7, and the degree is to begin at 7:30 p.m. And that's that, Michael. Good to see you. It's been a while.
Good seeing you, Joseph. Glad everything is A-OK. You know, kind of a good segue. We're talking about the degrees that are coming up. There is the new degree, the Charity Unity Fraternal Degree. And a lot of talk's been going around about it. I happen to like it. Everybody I've heard that has participated in it likes it. One of the things that came up just the other day, matter of fact, yesterday, we were talking to some gentlemen, and one of the things they talked about was that it's not really a church service. So their priest, after he had seen it, he says, you know, I don't really know if we should be doing this inside the church. And to that, I just want to bring up two things. One is, first of all, well, not one of the two, but he's correct. It's not. It's not a church service. However, I think the goal that the Knights are trying to do and what we're trying to convey with that is by having this ceremony occur inside the parish and inside the church itself is the fact that what we're trying to do is evangelize to the new Knights coming in.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to let everybody know that first and foremost, we are Catholic men. Secondly, we're going to have we want the family to be there. So we want them to be aware of the fact that when you join the Knights of Columbus, you are joining a faith-based organization. That's our number one goal. Second goal is, you know, and it doesn't matter what degree you're taking, first, second, or third, or now the new combined degree. When you take a degree, you're always going to take an oath. It's kind of like when you get married.
It's like, I do, and yes, dear.
I do, and that's it. And there's a couple of I do's in here. And I think one of the nice things about having this degree occur inside the church itself is I don't know of a better place to say an oath than having our Lord right there in front of you. And when you say, I'm going to be a better Catholic, and my last promise is going to be that I will attend Mass regularly, I think that's the whole concept of what we're trying to do is the Knights of Columbus is not only just an organization, but it's also a form of evangelization.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you're a priest out there and you say it's really not a church service per se, you're correct. But it's also a good opportunity to try to bring people back into the church.
Well, you know what the other side of that is? Let me play devil's advocate, if I may, for a minute. Number one, we could either A, go to Bishop Gaynor and ask him after he's seen it, you know, the video, which he would prefer as far as having it in a church or having it in a social hall or a classroom somewhere, or leave it to the discretion of his pastors and where their comfort level is okay, yeah, we can do it in the church. I don't have a problem with it. Some may, and then you take it and move it to a classroom, you know? But I think that's yeah, that's probably
how,
where...
Yeah, that's how we have it right
and
now.
And it's brand new.
It's a decision that's left up to the pastor. The only
sure,
reason I
as it should
it
be.
Up, I think want to make sure that when the priests think about it, also to think about why we as knights would like to have it in the parish.
Sure.
And that's the main point I wanted to get across.
Yeah, it will settle itself out.
It's always the pastor's decision. It's his parish. He is our spiritual leader. And that's the way it is. But it's just something to think about.
By the time we get to summertime, you know, it will sort itself out, and we'll the different parishes or whatever, we'll get it down, and everybody will learn their new parts, and it'll go forward like we always do, you know?
And so just thinking about it, you know, if you have a chance to see the new degree, you can actually, there is a video, and I don't have it off the top of my head, but you can just, if anybody wants to email me, I can send you the video. It's not to be used for the exemplification. But it is a promo video, and you'll actually, there's a little upfront talk by our Supreme Knight Carl Anderson, and then the degree itself, you can actually see it, but you are not allowed to use that for the exemplification.
No, like you used to be with the old admission degrees.
Right.
Worst case scenario, you could use the old CD.
Yeah, and that will come out down the road, but this one is strictly a promotional video to kind of let people know.
Well, that was for guys like the state officers and the district deputies or whoever to take a look at it and see what's coming so that they can explain it to the people below them in the chain of command.
But it's out to everybody. Everybody can go look at it. There's no secrecy involved. You can actually see what the degree looks like. Yeah. But if you are going to perform the degree, you must use the degree script. And that script came out. It should have gone to all Grand Knights. Somewhere within the time frame of 17th or 18th of January. So make sure you use that version. There was a previous version. That version, there's about 11 or 12 words different, but I think it's a better read if you use the second one,
you're
supposed to use.
A degree team captain, would you, I don't know if it's in my, I know it's not in my email. If you have a copy of it, can you?
Oh yeah, I can send
you. Send me a copy.
And if anybody wants to, you can email me. It's PA Programs. Really easy, PA for Pennsylvania, programs@comcast.net. And if you don't have a copy, you can just send me an email and I will send you out the video and the script.
Because I want to make sure, you know, when I have a meeting with my team, we decide who's going to do what going forward. That's going to be the biggest thing, is we all learned the old second degree.
Yeah, and one of the things is, you know, there's only five people need it for this degree. There's the person that talks overall. He's the presiding officer. Then you have the individual that does the charity part, the unity part, the fraternal part. It's nice to have a priest. We would like to always have a priest there for the opening prayer and the closing prayer, which is the prayer for the canonization of our founder, Father Michael J. McGivney. So it's really, you know, if you're able to have a priest, and if you are a priest, if you're able to attend, that's really fantastic, because this is a, we do want priests there. We do want our people to remember that we're Catholics first. That's who we are.
Yep.
Other than that, you only need one other person, and it's not a speaking part, the warden. And he does a few things, and that's it. And it runs down, if you, depending on how many people you have there, you're talking somewhere between 35 and maybe 40 minutes for the entire
thing. The thing that I like the best about it, I mean, not just the degree and the wording itself, but your family, the individual, the new knight coming in, his family, his wife, fiance, you know, kids,
anyone can come and sit
and watch.
Totally open to the public. You know, one of the suggestions in the preamble of the event is that, you know, you can actually... The most favorable time to do this is right after Mass. What you actually do is, I mean, for example, if you had a 5 o'clock Mass, well, then you could actually start the exemplification at 6:15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let people that don't want to be there naturally leave and then just continue on. Because there's no better way, I think, than to have the degree than actually be an extension of the celebration of the Eucharist and then just say, okay,
why
Mass
not?
Is over. You know,
Father's schedule. Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
So,
but it would work. It would work well that way.
You can
I think.
Do that.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. Anybody have any questions again on that? We have, you know, Ron Covage, a ceremonial director. He can give you all the really good in and outs. Our state deputy has participated, I think, in three already.
Three so far.
I've participated in one. I've seen it, I don't know how many times. I've seen the older version, newer version. But everything that we've gotten back, the feedback we've gotten back, especially from people who really aren't tied to the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you're a knight for 55 years, and the only things you remember are the first, second, third degree, and you say, oh, gee whiz, I missed this aspect or I missed that aspect. It's a little different. But when the wives are there, it's amazing when they say, I really enjoyed this ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that the knights had this devotion to Mary. I didn't know the rosary was so important to the Knights of Columbus. So I think it's well worth everything that all the little arguments, if you want to say.
Yeah, the new nuances of the thing,
and,
sure.
And, you know, change is always something.
It's 2020, guys. Yeah, yeah, wake up and smell the roses.
So
it's 2020. We have to change.
You're right. And this is a good way of doing it. And like I said, I think it's really great. You know, the other thing you alluded to, Joe, after we got done talking about degrees, was the fact that we didn't have shows because of the fact that we had a little problem with the station and the power outages and the microphone. It's always something, but that's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why God has us here, to make us a little bit better. But we have some really good guests coming on. I know you know Dave Bloomer.
And Dave's on my degree team. Yes, yep. I know Dave.
And Dave is the director for legislative affairs for the Knights of Columbus here in Pennsylvania. So we're going to have Dave on, and he's going to be talking. We also have Bob Focker coming on. He's a Grand Knight. We've had him on before.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to talk about what his council is doing, and they do some really good things.
Yep.
And he's going to be coming on. We have another guest. I'm not going to mention that yet because it has to be cleared. But once that one is cleared by higher-ups in the organization, we hope to have that on, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. And from the look on your face, Joe, you've got to be hearing music soon.
Yes, I am. It's amazing. We've been working too long together. Music's playing in my ears, Michael. With that, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after these messages. And welcome back to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and I'm joined as usual by my buddy, Mike Yakubik. Good afternoon again, Michael.
Good afternoon, Joseph.
So, you know, this month is going fast, the month of January, and by the time this show airs, we will be past the March for Life, which is, I believe, the 24th, I think.
24th,
The Friday coming up will be, we're taping the show on the 21st, so yeah, it will be this coming Friday.
And the show won't air till the 25th, so naturally it's going
to be the day after, but we had to get it in there. We had planned to get people on pro-life, and because of all of the issues we had technical, we spent a couple days on the floor here crawling around with flashlights and soldering irons trying to repair the equipment. It's when things are good, they're good, and when they're bad, they're terrible. It's like kids, you know. But we got things pretty well under control. Knock on wood, I hope, for right now. We have some parts that we have to get in. I just put the streaming back up today because that was down due to a power issue. But yeah, we had parts for that. So yeah, it's always something.
Yeah, it is, and I mean that's just life. I mean,
oh, sure.
We're into that, just like everybody else. Well, one of the things we talked about was some of the guests that we're having, and we mentioned Dave Bloomer, who's
mm-hmm.
our representative. And along those lines, even though this is after the March for Life, one of the things we want you to consider, I get their email blast, Pennsylvania Catholic Conference,
mm-hmm.
and there is something coming up, and I had talked, well, I didn't talk to Dave, emailed Dave this morning, and he sent me one back, and in the meantime, I got the blast from the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference. Eric Fleming
Eric Failing.
Failing, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, Fleming.
Yeah, Fleming, I think the other guy. Eric Failing talked at the DD seminar, and one of the things they brought up was this, and I'm going to read this verbatim because I just got it today, and this is something that if you don't get emails from the PCC, it might be a good organization to join because these are the little things that demonstrate our faith. So if you don't mind, Joe, I'm just going to read this straight out because I don't want to make sure I don't make any mistakes.
There you go.
This is what the request. Please contact your senator and ask them to make sure they support the pro-life telemedicine bill, SB 857, as passed by the House of Representatives. We very much need the help of our brother knights and all Catholics in advance of possibly the most critical pro-life vote in Pennsylvania this session. Next week, the PA Senate will vote on SB 857, printers number 1388, which is a telemedicine bill that allows for remote treatment of patients by doctors. While the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference supports this, abortion proponents want to misuse telemedicine to perform chemical abortions. The PACC was successful in the House in adding language to prevent abortion doctors from misusing telemedicine. Currently, a third of all abortions in the state are performed chemically. If the pro-life prohibitions are stripped out of the telemedicine bill, the number of abortions in Pennsylvania will increase dramatically. Using telemedicine for abortions is a stated goal of Planned Parenthood, since they can do more chemical abortions with fewer doctors and less overhead costs. So we're asking you again, please contact your senator and ask them to make sure they support the telemedicine bill as passed by the House of Representatives. You know, it's not often that we get out into this, but with this being so important, pro-life, and, you know, with the march this Friday,
mm-hmm.
and I know that so many of our brothers are going to be down there walking in the march. They're also, I think everybody will see when you watch it on TV, the majority of signs were provided by the Knights of Columbus. Because life is important, all stages of life. But if you don't give the child a chance even to be born, everything else seems a little silly because they just don't get to come into the world.
Yep. I've said it before, Michael. You know, it's like I don't care what church or synagogue or mosque you go to, what part of the Fifth Commandment don't you people understand?
Yeah, you're exactly right.
I mean, you know, murder is murder. Yeah. Let's face reality here. It's, you know, that's why I have, you know, three kids and six grandkids that I love and spoil. I mean, I don't understand. I just can't wrap my head around this abortion issue.
I think that's the thing about, you know, I don't know how anyone can do that. And I think that's why when you look at the ultrasound machines that the Knights are putting out throughout the state, throughout the world, actually, how can you as a pregnant woman look at the baby inside your womb and say, that's life? Anything that would restrict that is murder. I mean, if you get rid of that life in any way, it truly is murder. And that's what this bill, right now, I mean, the House of Representatives, I want to congratulate them because they did an outstanding job, and they did restrict telemedicine for abortions. We just want to make sure that the senators carry on with that and not to be persuaded to make any modifications in the language.
So but the other
get
thing
an opportunity
is,
contact.
Yeah, if you contact them and you talk to one of their staffers, remind that staffer tactfully and politically as you can be that Mr. Smith or Mr. Jones or whatever that representative's name is works for us. It's our taxpayers' dollar paying their salary. I mean, yes, sometimes you knock on their door, the average John Doe is going to have a hard time getting in to see them, but we have to get their attention.
Yeah, I got to admit, I mean, you know, the representatives, whether they're members of the House or the Senate in this area, are really and truly very approachable. Now, you may not get to see the individual, but if, for an example, I just happened to be eating with our state deputy and a young lady from Veterans Affairs, and right across the street was the member of the House of Representatives' office,
mm-hmm.
and I had a question, and I thought, well, I'm here. I walked over, went in, they greeted me very, very nicely. This is Barb Gleim.
Oh,
not
yeah,
sure
yeah,
exactly
yeah.
how to pronounce her name.
Gleim,
she is not my representative. Cheryl Dozier is. So this was I just walked in, and I talked to two of her staff members there. And within 15, 20 seconds, everything that I had asked them they had said, no problem. And they said, would you just give us a little bit more information? I said, of course. Went home, sent them an email, got an email response, and they said, we just need a little bit more in this area. Send them that information, and it's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
Yeah. So I think, you know, in our area at least, they are very, they are truly representative.
Yep, but they're in Harrisburg and D.C., truly. Yep. We have to let them know that it's our taxpayers' dollars paying their salaries. You know, I don't care what the lobbyists are putting in their pocket. Those congressmen and senators work for us.
That's right. And no matter how good the lobbyist is, he can't vote them in or out of office.
No, we can't.
We the people can.
There you go. So, yeah, bottom line, go vote. You know,
well,
this is why we vote, people.
And vote with that in mind. I mean, this is, you know, I mean, I try to vote my conscience all the time, and it does not mean I vote strictly Republican or strictly Democrat or strictly independent.
Sure.
I vote for whom I think is going to represent my beliefs and my thoughts and my conscience in Congress and or in the Senate. So I do that, and also the president. Not that I agree with everything that everyone does, but I do look at what their character is as far as how it affects my faith. And right now, if you look, there's so many people have our First Amendment rights. You know, and freedom of religion is extremely important to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Catholic, Jewish, a Muslim, one of our Protestant brothers.
You're right to profess your faith and practice your faith. Sure. It's a constitutional right.
Right. It's a fundamental right because the Constitution says that the rights that we have come from God. They don't come from man. They don't come from the government. So when you vote, always keep that in mind. Because man does not give us the right to be a human being. Only God does. So this is an easy way to prove that. You know, get out to your senators and let them know that you don't want abortion to be just a telephone call away.
Or a video call or whatever they're going to do with this thing.
Telemedicine. I think today it's a little of everything.
Well,
probably.
No, because with the technology, people have to realize that conceivably they're opening a Pandora's box.
Yep.
I mean, this is the reality of this thing. You know, people look at this, talk to your legislators. You know, we have to have a little two-way conversation going on here. Yeah.
To keep that in mind, you know, there's a lot we talked about today, a lot more than what we normally do. And like I said, we're going to have some really interesting guests coming on. And I think when you get to hear some of these people, if you're a knight, you're going to get to hear about what you can do within your council. Because Bob's really good. He's a good grand knight. He's done a lot of good things in their council. One of the other things is that we always have to push is the domestic church. You know, if you're a grand knight, you should be meeting with your pastor. I know he's busy, so do him a favor, you know. Find out when Father gets a break for lunch. Take him out to lunch, you know. First time, maybe don't even talk to him about it. You know, don't tell him what you want to do for him. Don't tell him why he needs you. Just ask him what he needs you to do.
Bingo.
And buy him a burger, buy him a slice of pizza. If he's a vegan, don't go out.
No. get him one of those new super giant economy size, the impossible sandwich or burger, whatever it is. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, and I'm sure that in their busy schedule, you know, a father would appreciate just a few minutes away from all the hassle and hustle that he's going through. So take him out to lunch, grab him, you know, a bite to eat, maybe on his way to when he's doing something. Sit down, have an enjoyable talk with him. Don't just talk business because that's not what it's about. Tell them that we're here to help. And if you can't help them and some other knight can, or, you know, the state can help, or the district or the region, give them a call. You know, that's what we're here
for.
Well,
you don't know. You might start out painting a couple of classrooms for them over the summer.
Yeah.
And you go in, you do a good job, and he's going to give you more stuff to do or ask you to help with fundraisers or, you know, different parish ministries. It's all good. It all serves the end purpose. It really does.
And I'm going to brag a little bit about my council. And this
go ahead.
This happened years ago when I was a grand knight. But we had won the state award for to go to Supreme for church activities.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really proud of our council. I was proud of Father Snyder for letting us do it. I was proud of everything. And I thought, boy, we did a good job. So it's going to go up to Supreme, see if we get a Supreme award. And a church in the Philippines, a group of, well, not a church, a group of knights in the Philippines built a Catholic church.
Mm-hmm.
They won. I'm glad they won. So I think that's what you have to look at. What can you do to help your priest out? What can you do to help out your church? Brothers, we've got to stop the bleeding. We're having Catholics leave at an inordinate amount. I heard a statistic that, and our Supreme Knight had mentioned it, for every one convert we get in, we have seven Catholics leaving.
There you go. Michael, we're about running out of time. I got music in my ears again.
There you go, Joseph.
Okay, I want to thank you for coming in and doing a show. We'll have to get, next week, we get back to normal here, get the rest of the stuff fixed. We'll get our guests in here, get some new shows in the can, give you people some fresh material. With that, along with Mike Kubik, I'm Joe Murphy. Thank you for listening. God bless you, one and all.